had a little issue there. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone online. Welcome to our combined services for Becker and First Kemp United Methodist Churches here in the Becker and Kemp area. It is a good and beautiful Sunday morning, so I'm glad those who are here with us live were able to get here. We're doing a great job so far the last several weeks of spacing out. I appreciate everybody's patience in this process as we're learning how to come together again and still be together and not be all over each other. It's really the thing, right? So we give each other plenty of space and are doing the best we can. Those of you who are joining us online, I thank you. If you don't forget to log your attendance online by placing your name in the comments, and that'll be great. Later on, we'll be using that comments for any prayer requests we have for you online, folks, when we get to our pastoral prayer time here. I sent the order of worship this morning to, as I usually do, in reply to Jim's email, so hopefully everybody got that Jim's email with regard to the weekly updates he sends out. So I replied to that, and I sent it this morning about 6 a.m., so hopefully everybody got a copy of that. It does include our song sheet on the back of the order of worship, and I believe I had the updated prayer concerns for both Becker and Kemp sent out as well. So if you have any questions or concerns about prayers or updates when we get to that time, just let me know, and I'll make any updates as we need them. We are still having our, come on in, we are still having our our Bible study through Zoom on Wednesdays. I encourage you to come and be a part of that. We have a pretty consistent small group, but I'd like to see it, especially in this time of sheltering, I'd like to see that start growing, because you can join either way, with camera or through your computer or without a camera on your computer, or even just dialing in. I've had people participate in different ways, and I think all are, I don't really do any sharing of my video screen. We just, we use it just to talk. So it's just nice to see some people's faces, but it's always great to hear other people's voices and thoughts on that. So if you'd like to join us at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, right now we're still just doing that on Zoom. The Youth Sunday School, or Bible Study now is what we're going to call that, is moved to Monday nights at 6:30. So if you were on the Zoom that we had at 7 o'clock a.m., or not 7 o'clock, the one we had on Sunday morning for the Youth Study, that's been moved to 6:30. So if you want to join with that, it's the same, should be the same meeting request. I just updated the time to move it to that other time, and so Jim's leading that still for us, and we appreciate that. Anything else before we get started with our worship service this morning?
I just want to tell people that I like helping with the pantry, but not on doing the second job.
Yeah, we have the food pantry monthly, and Deb's got a second job. She's a little bit she can't make be in two places at one time, as none of us can. So if you can fill in and help out with that, we usually have enough people anyway, but it's more the merrier. So yeah, the more the merrier, though. That's always a fun
it's a good service, though.
Definitely.
I just usually do the check-in, so I started doing that when we were trying to get Barbara back on the team, so I'm just begging for help.
Uh-huh. Any others? All right. Well, let's stand as you are able and join me in our centering words, and we'll move right into our call to worship. For those of you online, you may stand and sit as we do the same here. It'll be great for you. A little bit of exercise, too. While we are waiting, God is waiting with us. God promises are both now and yet to come. Wait and see. We wait with hope. For God's promises are sure. We wait with patience, for God's time is a mystery. Come and worship. We will wait upon the Lord together. You may be seated. Our Old Testament lesson comes from Genesis 28, verses 10 through 19a. This is Jacob's dream at Bethel. Genesis 28:10-19a. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called the place Bethel. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. If you'll stand for our opening prayer. Holy God of mystery and miracles, reveal your presence to us as we gather in worship. Send your Holy Spirit to descend upon us as angels once descended to Jacob. Raise our thoughts that we may reflect on your promises and trust with hope in promises yet to come. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And if you'll remain standing for our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Gloria Patri.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. Our New Testament reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness and with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the current, excuse me, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But we, if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. Kim will come up for our children's time. Oh, we ask that the children still remain in the, in their spots for now.
Hi. It's so good to see you guys. Hi, everyone online. So today I was thinking about our family's been going through a lot about are they having school, are they not having school, are we going to school, are we going to have to buy clothes or not, what's going on? And it's really stressful in our house, and I'm sure it's kind of stressful in your house. You don't know what to do yet, right? And so it kind of goes up and down. We get excited and we get kind of, and then we get excited again. And we don't know, and it keeps going back and forth. And it reminds me of a vacation I took a couple of years ago. Remember vacations? Those are fun. I miss those. But I was on a boat, a big cruise ship, and I felt kind of not so good. My tummy felt bleh. And so the people on the ship said, you know what you do, believe it or not, because what I wanted to do was to go lay down and close my eyes and feel better, because I felt not so good, because the boat was rocking. They said, actually, what you do is you go to the top of the ship and you look for the sun and you watch the line, the horizon line. And if you watch that line, it will help you get your balance so you don't feel so sick. And it actually makes you feel better. So that's what I was thinking about today. You know, when I was thinking about all this time is kind of stressful and it goes up and down. Well, what can we do? What can we think about is our horizon? What do you guys think? I think it has to do with God, right? So if we keep our mind on God during this time where we're stressed or happy or sad and it kind of goes up and down, he's going to give us that line to keep us centered and to keep us feeling strong and good, and so we don't feel kind of nervous or anxious or upset. So the next time you kind of feel worried about what's going to happen the next couple weeks, just think about that. Just pretend like you're on a boat and you're looking out at the horizon and say, God, please help me get to center. Please help me to feel better and not so worried and anxious, but to feel centered with you. So let's say a prayer, okay? Dear God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be with us every day, to be that rock, to be that horizon, to help guide us and center us. Help us to focus on you and to ask for help when we need it during this time of uncertainty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Kim. As she returns to her place of worship, we're going to continue. We usually have our offertory time right now, but I kind of moved that to the back just because we're in this limbo of what works and what doesn't work, trying to make the flow of our worship service a little better. So I left that back there. If you have, were here and you wanted to drop your offering in, you can do that. And we'll get to the offering in a little bit and the prayer for that toward the end of our worship service. So our scripture comes from Matthew. It is Matthew 13, 24 to 30 and 36 through 43. So we hear today a parable. We've had a few parables from Matthew or from of Jesus in Matthew that we've read, and this is one that you know, I don't know that I've ever really prepared anything on or thought about too deeply, but as I've come back through and we're kind of following the lectionary, I had an opportunity to review it, and I think there's quite a bit for us to kind of chew on here. But it's again 13, and it begins with verse 24, and it'll go to 30, and then we'll pick back up with 36 to 43. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed a good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow a good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Continuing with 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Let anyone with ears listen. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. So the parable today is about wheat and weeds, or weeds that are sown into the wheat, the good seeds, right? So that, you know, Jesus is very good about teaching, right? And he's good about using these parables to kind of compare things to the kingdom of heaven. He also has other phrases and allegories that they use, that they've written and used, to kind of express these thoughts of how we can compare what heaven is like, or that kingdom of heaven, what it'll be like. In the beginning of this chapter, we were given the parable of the sower. And if you remember that, I'll quickly summarize. That's where the sower goes out and he's throwing the seeds, or he's sowing the seeds. Some fall on the rocks or in the path, and some fall in the rocks and the thorns, and then some fall into the good soil. And depending on where you are, you kind of contemplate what kind of soil are you. But the seed in that parable represents the word of God, right? It's all good seed. It just matters where it lands. Today's parable, it's a little bit different, because there is the good seed that's sown originally, the wheat, by the people who the servants who work on the field. And as they go around and they have done their job, their due diligence of sowing that good seed, somebody comes along behind them and sows in some weeds. So today's parable is not just about what type of soil do you want to be, but it makes us consider what type of seed we are. And that's a little bit harder, or maybe a little more introspective for us, because it requires that, for us to think about how we are as people, right? What kind of people are we in the world? But then there's also this other challenge of how do we get along with the people around us, right? Because there are good and bad seeds, there are good and bad people, and that's kind of what faces us every day. That's the thing that challenges us as we try to claim our faith and hold on to our faith and express that faith with others and share it with others. But not everybody is receptive to hear about what we have experienced or what we feel or even what we know to be true, not only from the scriptures, but from our own experience with God. And so we have this issue today that we see and that we can reflect on, especially in our present reality, right? If we think about how our country is today, in my lifetime, and I know I'm a little younger than some people that are listening and maybe some here, but in my lifetime, I can't remember it being this divisive or this divided on so many different topics, not just political topics, but, you know, we're politicizing things that shouldn't even matter, like masks, for example. You know, there are people that I hear that are like, you know, don't make me, I see them protesting about having to wear a mask in public. Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. But we're so divided on so many things that we get upset at the littlest thing. And I'm trying to think about what it means to be the wheat in a field full of weeds, possibly. Well, I know one thing that we need to think about here, and because I'm just as guilty as the next about when it comes to these debates, right? I get sucked in, I get drawn in, and I gotta say, oh, put your mask on, it's not gonna kill you, right? It's not gonna hurt you. But that's not the point of what I should be doing, right? Like, that shouldn't be my focus about the details of what's going on in this argument out there today or what's dividing our country. What I should be doing is looking for the things that are drawing us together, those things that we still have in common, whether we are wheat or we are weed, right? We all still need sustenance. We still need to be nourished. That nourishment, though, it comes from the soil, and it comes from what we call our source of the soil that's in our soil anyway, is God. God provides for all. Provides for the wheat, provides for the weeds, the good seed, the bad seed. The thought for me here that I want us to think about, or what I think is our challenge, is how do we help make some of that weed into wheat, right? How do we transform, how do we influence the weeds of the world to become more like the wheat? Maybe it hits a little closer to home, because I can honestly look back in my past, and I've shared it a few different times, where I was very much the wheat, a weed of the world, right? I was very much the naysayer, the disbeliever, the I'm not so sure about this faith thing and how people can follow blindly this Bible, this scripture that was written some 7,000 years ago. How do I know it to be true? Well, it took some time, and I'm thankful that I was able to be given that time, that I can now look at it in a different way, and I can be more like the wheat. The thought for us as being the good seed, right, the focus for us as children of the kingdom, if that is going to be our focus, then we shouldn't be thinking about the judgment times, right? The end times. That's God's role. That's Jesus' role in the end of the age. That's God's responsibility at the end of the age. Our responsibility as wheat, or as weed, either way, is to grow. Our responsibility is to grow. And as wheat, as we like to claim to be the wheat, our job, the good seed, is to grow in likeness of the one who sowed us, right? We should be growing as the Son of Man, right? We should become more like Christ in all that we do and all that we share. And I know one thing that I have figured out, and it takes me a while, don't get me wrong, it's not like I had this epiphany yesterday and I'm all perfect today. I mean, I've thought about this many times when I make a mistake, and it's usually when I'm in one of these debates about something that really doesn't matter. And I realize, you know, I'm not sowing seeds that I want to see grow, right? I'm not sowing more wheat. I'm not trying to do the things or say the things that would bring that person closer to God. What I'm doing is trying to win the argument. But as the wheat, as the good seed, I need to focus on what matters. And what matters is not winning the argument. What matters is being able to influence the weeds that are around us to become more like the wheat. That doesn't mean we can transform them, no. But what we can do is share with them our experience with Christ. We can share with them that Holy Spirit that lives within us that has transformed each of us. One last thing I kind of want to jump on before we get down to the next, before I go to my next example, is the weeds. They're not just out there, by the way, outside these walls. Sometimes the weeds are within the church itself. Sometimes the weeds or the bad seed could be right here amongst us. And we need to look at ourselves to decide, am I being the good seed here or am I the bad seed that's sown? Either way, I need to think about how I can change what's impacting my relationship with Christ so that it continues to be one of positive growth. So focusing our attentions towards the things which we are responsible, right, or not responsible, right? Gathering, quick to judgment, making it what's right and wrong, pointing that out. None of that should really matter to us. What matters to us is how we grow. And if we're thinking about how we grow and we're trying to be like the one who planted us, if we're trying to be more like Christ, then that will show in the ways that we share that love, right? How do we get there, though, right? What are some ways that I can do that, right? How can I grow in a positive way? Well, there's some things that, you know, I've learned over the years and from different folks in certain places, but one of the things that I really enjoyed and I take with me daily and I really try to implement every day is there's this kind of a three-pronged approach to my relationship with Christ, one of it being study. And I'm not the best at studying, right? But what I want to do is learn more about what God wants me to know, right? So I study the scriptures, and I don't do it every day, I have to admit, but one of the things that is helping me is our weekly Bible study that we have. You know, I'm preparing to speak and share my thoughts on the scriptures that we have every week from the lectionary, and it helps me to hear other people's interpretations of those same scriptures. I gain a lot out of that conversation and that sharing of the word with each other that allows me to grow. Even today, some of these scriptures we have all read many times. Maybe it's your first time to read. But as we read them again and we refamiliarize ourselves even, we learn something new because somebody will say something that struck them on how that scripture interpreted or played out in their life this week, the activities of their life. And that really moves me to this place where I can understand that I still have a lot to learn. The other thing I try to do is spend some time with God every day, or every week for sure. And we do that through a couple of different ways. Here, gathered together this morning in worship, that's one way we spend time with God. Another is through prayer, right? For a long time, we weren't able to come together as a group. And so I imagine most of our prayer lives were just perfect, right? Like we just every day prayed every day, every moment of every day. Okay, maybe not, because I'll be honest, mine wasn't like that either. I still had other things that demanded my time, but I still tried to make time for God every day. And one of those ways is through prayer. One of those ways weekly is through our worship time. When we gather together, both online and here, we're able to spend time with God, the creator of the universe, wants to hear from us, wants to see us, wants to be with us. And that's something that we can do. So worship, attendance, and prayer, just a couple of items that we can do to help us stay connected to God, spend time with God. The last thing that I want to close with today, as far as an example, is action and how we do that, right? What we do, we should make every effort to act as God would have us act, right? Not how we act normally. Our natural state is not usually good enough. But we should make every effort to act in a way that shares God or glorifies God with others, to others. And if we can do that sort of stuff, then that means we can make a stance against oppression and injustice. You know, we're revisiting some of these movements that are happening and been happening you know, these last several years, from everything from women's rights and oppression to racism, systemic racism, just racism in general, that we all have these filters that we've grown up with. And we're all learning that, hey, none of that or all of that isn't always acceptable, and it isn't most of the time right the way we view the world. And we need to be more considerate of those who are around us, right? And understand where they come from and what they have experienced and what part I may have played in that. And so we look at those things, those movements that are happening, and we need to be open to hear what folks are saying, open to understanding what their true experience has been, where it's different from my own, and how can I kind of meet them on common ground, that ground that we were talking about earlier, those things that I was talking about earlier, the nutrient, the nourishment that we all receive from Christ and through God, that sustain us, right? How can I be a part of what helps sustain them as well? Action is where we can be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. And I think that's important for us to consider and think about, and not just with the folks in our communities, right? But, you know, with the family members in our lives that we see more regularly, the people who maybe we just see once in a while when we take a trip to Dallas or something, where we interact with somebody where we just might see them the one time, if we have an opportunity to share compassion with them and be compassionate towards them, then what a difference that can make in their life. You know, Kim and I were discussing a few other things, and I wanted to mention, when it comes to the time that we're all going to meet God and we're going to go through our own day in court, right? We'll have our time before the jury, if you will. God and Jesus Christ will pass judgment upon us. One of the things we were talking about is when we try to do our own gardening, which we're not good at, I want to say that clear and make sure everybody understands, we don't really know what a weed is in our yard compared to what's grass, or we certainly couldn't recognize weed from wheat, probably. So many times we laugh about, well, should I cut that down, or is that going to flower? Especially when we first moved into our house, because they actually had flower beds and garden stuff. And so we're like, oh, is that a... And I think week three or something, the grass was getting a little high near the house, and I just cut everything down, and I think I took out the flowers that's supposed to re-bloom every year. I mean, I hacked it up. And so we learned from that. It's like, you know, I guess the term we came up with, well, is this a wildflower or is this a weed, right? Like, and we decided if we want to be the wheat, we don't want there to be any confusion at the end of the day, right? We don't want to be mistaken for a weed, right? So we're going to try to do all we can to be the wheat, right? We want to do everything we can, show all the flowers that God gives us, all the blessings that God gives us to share with others, so that when it comes time, there's not going to be any doubt in anyone's mind that's looking upon us, the people who are reaping, if you will, they're going to say, oh, that's wheat. And we're going to get put into the barn as opposed to the furnace. And I thought it was humorous because of how real it was for us. And if any of you struggle with gardening or flowers or flower beds, then you understand exactly where I'm coming from. You don't know if you should rip something up or not. But the reality for us is we want to be that good seed that is easily recognizable. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are at our time of pastoral prayer, and as I was saying, this would be the time for you online to add any prayer concerns that you have, and you can just type them into the comments, and we'll make sure we update them. A couple that I wanted to bring up from this week, for those family members here, members of First, where we're having service today, Belva had some... A procedure done this week, so we want to make sure we lift her up in prayer. I know she's probably going to have some recovery time there, so pray for her and reach out to Jim and Belva and see if there's anything we can do to help them out, make sure they're being taken care of. family of Clifton Smith. Clifton Smith passed away, and I think that was on Tuesday morning. And I know that's the father of Regina Kaiser over at Becker, so I want to lift that family up and make sure they're being prayed for and cared for this week as well, especially. And then there's the other ones that we had, a couple of other ones from last week that were on our Facebook comments. There was Joe Lynn and Teresa Rodriguez and also Thelma. Those were the names that came up, and they're struggling with different things. So I ask that we lift them up in prayer as well. Are there any joys or concerns we'd like to lift up this morning? Yes, Deb?
My joy is when they don't start fighting again. But anyway, I just want prayer for a lot of people struggling with relationships right now, because I know my daughter and her husband and I were going through it, and I keep thinking of these little kids, 3 and 6, and now my girls were 13 and 16 with my divorce for 22 years, and that was hard enough, you know. So I'm telling them to just work on forgiveness, you know, I'm trying to send them forgiveness and things like that, but it's just, I can't be there, so I'm doing what I can.
Yes, ma'am. Definitely will lift them up.
And I think a lot of people are struggling like that.
I bet.
My positive thing is I found the book, Everybody Needs Purple People, yesterday, by Kristen Bell. I heard of that on TV one day. I read it to this elderly gentleman. He was laughing his head off. It's written like kids talking and how we need to accept people of all sizes, shapes, colors, tall, short, you know, whatever, ages and things. It's like a book of acceptance. It's about
all right, I'll get a copy.
I'll
get us a copy for our family.
I was walking in Walmart yesterday because I was late getting to the acreage. And in fact, she called me on my phone from a mountain in Colorado. She said, everything okay? I said, it's fine. I just had to get a few things at Walmart this morning. I'm here. So
cool.
But yeah, so it's a cute book.
All right, we will do that. Any other joys or concerns? Yes. What's his name?
BJ.
BJ? We will definitely look BJ up. Yes, Sonia. Food pantry full. Good deal. Great. So the food pantry's ready to go for Tuesday. That is 6:30 to 8 for those who live in the Kemp ISD, right? Any others? Well, I'd like to say I really like the crowd we have today. It's almost like regular times. Almost. Not quite. We'll get there soon, I hope. Keep hoping for that. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we will... after the Lord's Prayer, we'll have a prayer for our offering as well. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the blessings you give us. Lord, we just say thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the sun. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for this wonderful heat we've been enjoying for the last several weeks. Lord, we know that, we know that live here in Texas. We chose Texas for a reason, and one of that is the weather. So we enjoy the heat as much as we enjoy the few days of cold that we get, and I am a firm believer that if I really wanted more cold weather, I would move, and I guess I won't for now. So thank you for that. Thank you for the joys of new books, of new ways to read and understand relationships. Father, we also want to pray for relationships. We also want to lift up those who are struggling with relationships right now, that you know who they are and that you know what is needed. And Father, we just ask that your spirit be present to those folks that are struggling there, that they can be more willing to hear the other side, maybe choose to be present as opposed to being right. Lord, we just ask that you bless them and help them through those times, these tough times. Father, we lift up those who are struggling with illness. We lift up BJ and those who maybe have been mentioned already as far as having procedures last week. Lord, we just ask that you continue to provide healing and comfort there. Father, we ask that you provide peace for those who have lost loved ones this week. Those that we care about deeply and care about the most have lost family members who are very close to them, and we just ask that you bless them and keep them and give them rest and peace. Lord, just help them through this time of loss that they may continue to be able to see the good in all that you bring. Father, we just ask that you do all these things in your Son's name who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So we are at our time of tithes and offerings, and if you brought your tithes and offerings and dropped them in the plates and the buckets back there, that is wonderful. For those of you online and giving through the online, Becker UNC is P.O. Box 92, Kemp, Texas, 75143. And for those of you who are wanting to donate to Kemp, it is First UMC Kemp at P.O. Box 327. And Kemp, Texas, 75143. We also have a PayPal account that's set up for the First UMC Kemp at gmail.com. That is for this church here, First UMC Kemp. And you can also give through that online. It does require that you have a PayPal account already set up as well. So with all those things, let's stand and praise God for the blessings and sing our doxology. And then I think we can go right into our closing song after that, our closing hymn. That's how it is on my paper anyway. So let's sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Our hymn is number 545, The Church's Firm Foundation. It's on the back of your bulletin. I shouldn't say bulletin, your order of worship. So those of you following along at home, should be page 4. If you will stand as you are able and join us in singing The Church's One Foundation.
1, 2, 3. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter is salvation, one heiress, Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses, with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder we see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, Yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the mournful song. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the summation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee. Amen. And our benediction, may patience pave your path, may hope comfort our world, and may love guide our lives. Go with patience, hope, and love. Amen. Y'all have a great week. Thanks, everyone.